power of black music. Music is far more than a multi-billion dollar business in the U.S. and around the world. It is far more than the stuff that comes out of your radio in an unending roll. For some people, music, the right music, can transform one's way of looking at the world and even change lives. By music, as you may have guessed, I'm not talking about bubblegum pop or rap. I'm talking about a music form that has been called classical, at least by black listeners, for generations. I speak of jazz. I speak specifically of the music of the late saxophonist John Coltrane, born 1926, died 1967, an adherent of the form that came to be called avant-garde, French for advance-garde or free-form jazz. In the 50s, he was a star player in the Miles Davis Quintet. Later, he would lead several groups, and when not zonked out high on heroin, would play such music as would move millions, even now, decades after his death. In San Francisco, a church stands today which has named the musician a saint of the African Orthodox Rite. This is the same church that was a religious branch of the Marcus Garvey Black Nationalist Movement of the early 20th century. At the St. John Will.i.am Coltrane African Orthodox Church, Archbishop Franz O. Wayne King presides, and his appreciation of Coltrane's music may be shown as often by his preaching as by his playing of the saxophone in tribute to the saint. In a recent interview, Archbishop King explained that he heard Coltrane live in 1966 at a local club called the Jazz Workshop, where he and his girlfriend, soon-to-be wife Marina, got front-row seats. What they heard that evening almost literally blew him away. King would later explain the experience as his sound baptism. So taken was he by the power and beauty of Coltrane's music that he first organized a small congregation called the Yardbird Temple, named after the nickname of another famous sax player, Charlie Parker. In this initial gathering, Coltrane was worshipped as a god, and Parker was seen as a John the Baptist type figure. Years later, when he joined the African Orthodox Church, Coltrane was demoted to saint. Today, people come from all around the world to visit the San Francisco church. The influence of Coltrane has also had far less spectacular but still meaningful impact on the lives of people during the 60s. As black revolutionary and later scholar Muhammad Ahmad, who worked with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, the Revolutionary Action Movement, and other such movements, would later write in his political autobiography, "We Will Return in the Whirlwind," music opened his mind to political ideas and possibilities. First was going to see Max Roach and Abby Lincoln present their Freedom Now suite at the National Convention of the NAACP, which was held in Philadelphia that year. I had been raised on jazz and had done my homework with Eddie Collier while listening to John Coltrane's Giant Steps. I had gone to the Newport Jazz Festival and was an avid fan of both Miles Davis and Cannonball Adderley. But this was the first time I had heard message music so direct for my generation. The Freedom Now suite immediately raised my political, cultural consciousness. It wouldn't be until a year later that I would listen to John Coltrane's My Favorite Things and become a Trainite until Train passed on in 1967. As Ahmad explained, music was a powerful social force that opened new ways of looking and thinking about and even living in the world. Music is more, much more, than a commodity. Free jazz of that period represented quite simply freedom in breaking away from the restraints of the past. This power of music must be recaptured to become a resource for a people who are still not free. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.